Hello everyone, welcome to the Smashy Business Show. Today is 18th of December, Wednesday. It's the year 2024, which is nearing its end. There's only 12 or 13 days left till we see the New Year celebrations. And I've heard Dubai Burj Khalifa is planning something extravagant with hundreds of players who are coming in to just organize that fireworks and drone show. I have with me the beautiful, the charismatic Farah Bashir.
Hi guys.
I have to call her that. So starting on a very nice note, Farah, what are your New Year plans?
Oh my God. For New Year's, every year my family and I book a table at a party place. Nice. And we tend to go out, have fun, enjoy, and party. What about you?
I am usually at home. I have a kid, so I don't want to go out and be stuck in traffic or on roads for 4 or 5 hours. But this year, to be honest, I am planning to go somewhere at least to see the fireworks, but I'll go alone. I told my wife that please.
You're going to go alone?
Yeah, can you be at home and take care of the kid? Because she doesn't want to go into crowds and stuff. She hates it. So thankfully, she is like, yes, you should. Because she's lived in Saudi and Dubai. Mm. So she has seen all of it.
Yeah.
So she's like, this is your first time that you've ever asked.
Yes.
So just go and enjoy the New Year in Dubai style, like walk to the place, like Burj Khalifa or anything. So let's see. I have some plans going on. Really? Let's see what materializes. But there's a lot happening because of the New Year, everything. The last time I remember, in front of the Burj Khalifa, the place where there's all the restaurants on the side of Dubai Mall, one table went for 5,000 dirhams. It's a lot of money
These
places make, I've
of
heard.
Of course. Because like, you know, like they are selling the experience of seeing the fireworks at Burj Khalifa, and as well you are sitting down at a table having food delivered to you, right?
So would you buy it?
It's like, and it's
would you ever, if you had the money, would you go and have like 4 or 5 hours of all the firework experience and everything right at the front of
4 or 5 thousand?
For one person, actually, that's the cost. It's not even a table, it's per person. So if you want a 4-person table, it's around 20,000.
No.
For a good experience. No?
No.
Yeah, because I saw some report on Khalistan's or the National that people are preferring dessert also, right? They're preferring to go to the desert and see something
that
from
is
there.
Yeah. I mean, last New Year's, my family and I went to the desert.
Oh, nice.
And we were all in our cozy pajamas and everything, right? Because like it was really cold. However, I didn't really like that. Like, I want to party, but...
Yeah. Now, I guess the other Emirates like Ras Al Khaimah, you've lived here, you would know better than me. But Ras Al Khaimah, Umm Al Quwaim, all these places, they also have fireworks, but they also give you that open experience. The way is a lot crowded on New Year's. Even the metro stops working after a while and you have to walk all the way from places.
It's a vibe because we all are collectively as people celebrating together for the entrance of a new year, a new era, a new everything. And something about the New Year's Eve, you know, it's different. The energy is different. Like, you just know like it's going to be a good year. You just know that it's not going to be... You're going to be changing some stuff. What's your New Year resolution?
To be more active.
I've stopped
saying I'll go to the gym. I'll stop saying I'll start running. I'll just say be more active, like physically.
Okay.
That's what I've been trying to do since the past 2 years. I was very active like 2-3 years ago when I was in Pakistan. I used to play football and everything. But I guess I've lost touch to that side of me. But I'll try to be more active. And yeah, you can send us your New Year resolutions as well. If you're into crypto, what is your New Year resolution? If you're into stocks.
Spend money.
Yeah,
spend money.
Send us all the business related or the goal oriented New Year's resolutions that you have. Let's move on to stories. It's a very nice, healthy day for stories, actually. Things are flying in the air. There's reports in US that there's weird drones flying around and people don't know where they're coming from. But in Dubai, everyone knows that in the Silicon Oasis, there's drones which are now going to fly. Yesterday was the launch of Middle East's first of its kind drone delivery system, which was inaugurated and launched by His Highness Sheikh Hamdan, the Crown Prince of Dubai. And the video is there. You can see it on our screen. And if you're not seeing it, if you're listening to it, you can go and find the video. It's everywhere on all social media platforms. So the idea mainly is that they've There's a lot of players that came together. There's DCCA, Dubai Civil Aviation Authority. Then there's Dubai Future Foundation. All these people came together and they've launched this whole initiative where now in the first phase, like in the start, there's 6 drones and they'll be mostly used for medicine and like emergency supplies. But they want to expand it and eventually food delivery, clothes delivery, gifts delivery, every kind of its delivery will be done through drones.
You know, one thing is that we talked about this on the, this on the Love in Dubai show, and we were talking about how Dubai is for sure the future, right?
Yeah.
And as well, His Highness Hamdan bin Mohammed said, Dubai is committed to driving innovation and using technology to serve people, businesses, and communities. This supports the Dubai Economic Agenda D33's goal to transform Dubai into one of the world's top 3 urban economies by 2033. What we implement today will set a global benchmark for the cities of the future. Now, of course, now we know that the launch of the drone is something really big because it's the first in the Middle East.
Yeah. The main thing is that drones, the problem with drones is that they're also launching air taxis. A lot of things are going airborne now.
Airborne, yeah.
So yeah, there would be a system in place to control the traffic of all these things, like a drone doesn't collide with a taxi. So the whole system is quite complicated, but they are trying to do it. The way air taxis, the first airport, the first vertiport, they're calling it, that is started construction. It'll be completed in 2026. So a lot of things are going from the road now to up in the air.
Because, you know, they want to eliminate traffic that's happening in around the country, right?
Yeah.
And we, like, at this point, back then, Dubai, during the weekend, you would not see as traffic. However, like, last weekend, it was like weekend, I was like, why is there traffic? Or what are people doing?
The tourist season has started. A lot of people are on the road now as well. And the winter has started. It's actually a very good weather today outside. It rained.
It's cold. Yeah. It's cold. It's going to be raining for sure.
It's cloudy. Some of the places it rained in the night.
Yes.
When I was coming out of the house, there was like 1 or 2 drops. But hopefully the weather will be better now and more tourists will come. The main technical aspect of the drone delivery is that it's a Kita drone, which was used to deliver the first order for His Highness Sheikh Hamdan. Apparently, he ordered a coffee because I can see a picture of him throwing it in a dustbin. So there's a whole kiosk where the drone will deliver your package, and then you can enter your number or PIN number or order number or something, and then get the order. He's holding a coffee cup, and he's throwing it into a no littering can, a trash can, which is also with the kiosk. So even that part is covered in all of it. So let's see, hopefully soon enough, it will come out of Dubai Silicon Oasis and in other parts of Dubai as well.
It will, for sure.
It will, for sure.
For sure,
and,
for sure.
Next year, most probably, we'll see some other areas open up as well. Kita Drone is basically, this is the interesting part of the story. It's a subsidiary or a sister group or the international arm of Meituan. Meituan is China's biggest delivery platform. They just launched in Saudi Arabia. They're planning to come to the UAE as well.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that just comes from the back of my mind. I just saw their name and I was like, oh, Meituan. So yeah, this is a delivery system in China, which is the biggest. It's like Noon or Delivery Hero or Amazon of China. So they have launched this first drone. So let's see. The future holds a lot of good things. Aerial things.
Yes,
flying things.
Of course, and they're all game changing. By the way, they really are. You know, we know that Dubai is the future, and Dubai is not only the future by name, it's as well by actions. And we see it.
Next story is also a very nice, good feel story for tourists. We're just talking about a lot of traffic on the road, and a lot of tourists are here. So UAE has offered, they've started an offer where they will refund the VAT, that is the value added tax, which was launched 5% in 2018 by UAE. Mm-hmm. They will return the VAT to tourists now. And everyone, Farah even was like, they're already doing it. But the idea is even on e-commerce platforms. So if you come here and you buy groceries or any stuff from Noon or Amazon, from the ones that are on the tax-free planet thing.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you buy from them, you will get your VAT back on them. as a tourist, not as a resident. Don't try that.
That is actually exactly. Don't try that because you will fail miserably. But
it's
of
a good
course,
sign.
It is, by the way, a very good sign because I think the UAE is recognizing that everything is moving digital, right? People do not go out to shop anymore. Yeah. People have their phones.
Yeah.
And anything can be done in like a minute instead of going for an hour or two. So they recognize that, you know, hey, we do have a lot of tourism here and we don't want to lose our tourists. So we want to improve the economy.
Yeah.
What a better way than to promote tourists to shop online by maybe providing them VAT returns.
Yeah. And the good thing is, I think VAT is not something that you pay willingly. As residents, we have to because we get all the services. But as a tourist, you're like, I don't live in the country. I don't give taxes. I don't get tax returns. So why should I pay VAT? But this shows that they care about tourists and they're taking a step every year. They always introduce something new for the tourists because they want them to come back again and again. And that's the good part.
Because like either way, if you want to think about it in a way, that the biggest element in the UAE is tourism.
Yeah.
Right? And they want to implement this. It is implemented, of course. However, they want to, I would say, have
it better,
be better, as you said. You know, and maybe get even more tourists come to the country. Because at this point, it's not only about Dubai. People are coming to come to Ras Al Khaimah, to Al Ain, to Sharjah, to Dubai, and other cities, right? And of course, like they're just like, you know, how can we make? We know that Dubai and the UAE as a whole, they make the experiences of the residents itself good and better. So they're like, yeah, the tourists as well do deserve it.
Yeah. So some technical details again. If you shop over 250 dirhams in the UAE on any e-commerce platform, you are eligible for a VAT refund. And a side note of the tax that UAE collected. So according to FTA, 272.6 billion dirhams of tax was collected in the first three quarters of 2024. That's an FTA, Federal Tax Authority, number. So that shows they're collecting tax a lot, and then obviously this tax translates into good roads, better communities, better services, everything that the government is supposed to provide through tax. They're doing that.
That is true.
So thank you, UAE. I guess the tourists will be happy and jumping around.
I mean, for sure, you know, this will as well, because a lot of tourists will be like, you know, why would we want to come to Dubai? It's expensive, right? But when they come and they see that there is tax return, they're not going to be like, oh, yeah, no, we're not going to come. That's very smart of Dubai.
Let's move on to the next story, which is about one of the things that has been happening for now since 2 years. October 7 started it. The history goes back a lot of years, but after October 7, the genocide in Gaza by Israel has been continuously going on. We saw the upheaval of Bashar al-Assad in Syria. We saw Israel's invasion in Lebanon. Now World Bank has come out with a report, and World Bank says that Gaza's economy and as a whole Palestinian Authority, Palestine's economy, has suffered so much from this catastrophe that is happening that it's even worse than COVID. So I was looking at all the things that they compared it to. So the Intifada, all the things that have happened, bad things that have happened to Palestine and Gaza in history, this is the worst ever for their economy. So Gaza's Palestinian GDP actually contracted, like shrinked 26% in 2024 because of the genocide that Israel is carrying out. And apart from that, Gaza itself's economy has literally collapsed, an 86% shrink of the whole economy. There's no jobs to do. There's no trade or anything happening. It's a very sad story. And the World Bank's stamp of approval, that showing that it actually is causing a lot of problems for people, shows that it's wrong. It's absolutely wrong on human level, on economic level, on the regional economic level, on every level. Whatever Israel is doing is wrong. And now they're showing numbers for it.
Look, that is like, it's very expected for the economy to go low, because after the genocide that had happened, a lot of politics came in. Right, and a lot of sanctions came in, and excluding the sanctions as well, some basic certain things were not able to get to Palestine. You know, like human resources were not able to be delivered to Palestine and the Palestinian people. And that is, of course, as you said earlier, all due to the genocide that had happened, that had occurred. And which, by the way, like the moment that it will be ending, maybe for sure it will be coming for like better.
No, but with Trump coming in, a little political note on that Trump has said that I just want to end this. He doesn't...
Of course.
Last administration, the Biden and Kamala Harris administration, obviously U.S. is a superpower right now, and they're one of the backers of Israel, and they veto every decision in the U.N. when it comes to Israel being forced by the U.N. to stop the genocide in Gaza. They always veto it against it. So... with Trump coming in, who is a who has a very clear stance on everything. Mm-hmm. He loves crypto. He loves business. He's very pro-business. He hates the people who are coming from other countries. And then he also hates this conflict. He wants it
for
to end.
For sure.
So most probably we'll see the end of it. But the devastating effect it had on the economy, that's the main thing that will need a lot of time to recover. Palestine, Gaza, all these places, they will take a lot of time. Syria, we've seen the civil war was going on for decades. They are recovering. The new head of HDA, who is like now the ruler of Syria, he has come up with this first interview. He wants recovery. He wants all the countries to take away the sanctions.
You know, even in Syria, the $1 back then used to be a lot. But now it's
coming down.
It's getting better. It's now only 15,000 lira, which is really good for Syrians.
Yeah. So, but yeah, these things happening in this is very bad for economy, of the overall economy, because Middle East as a whole, when we talk about it, we talk about it in a very positive light. Saudi Arabia, UAE, Egypt, all these places doing very good in everything. But then these regions, they bring the average of the whole region down. But UAE has been doing great. They've been sending millions in aids to Gaza.
That's true.
They have so many things there. Mm-hmm. Ship hospitals, like standing there, docked there forever. Water filtration systems. UAE has done, I don't think, they're the biggest contributors to the aid in Gaza right now.
Yeah,
and
because...
And we see on weekends also, there's always something happening to collect aid.
True, I agree with you. And as well, because like we know that politics and business both play together like they are monopoly. It's a monopoly, right? And every region has its own monopoly. For example, like Saudi Arabia, UAE, Qatar, they are doing so well because they know how to play it right. However, when you come to regions like the Levant, right? Gaza, Jordan, I don't say Jordan, Gaza, Syria, Lebanon, the economy might maybe go down because of outside factor and because of maybe a lot of other political issues that play.
So the conflict has literally devastated the economy. The numbers that I saw in the report is the Palestinian, so Gaza's economy was contributing 17% to the Palestinian GDP. Now they're contributing 3.5% in the last year. Very low, because again, there's nothing to do, nothing is happening because of the genocide. And it's the interesting part is that it's 40% of the population of Palestine, Gaza, and they're only contributing 3.5% because of all the infrastructure that has been destroyed and everything. So yeah, all these things are happening. A lot of numbers are there. You can read it on the World Bank website, or you can subscribe to our newsletter and read about it also. We have the link on all our social platforms. This is one of the stories that was there in our newsletter today. So just to quickly read some numbers and then we'll wrap up the show. Businesses in Gaza have been obliterated, with 66% wiped out. Out of the 57 banks and ATMs that are there, 33 have been destroyed. So there's no way to take out money even out of the bank to use. 51% of their combined employment rate across Palestine. So half of Palestine doesn't have a job. So it's very concerning, all these numbers. And coming from World Bank, it shows that Israel needs to step back.
That's true.
The simplest thing that you can say.
The thing is, because like, you know, they sign a ceasefire, right? But then you don't see it actually being implemented or actually happening. Yeah. So I think maybe bigger power needs to get in and put an end
Some other stories that happened yesterday. Syria, which just threw away Bashar al-Assad, Syria's central bank still holds nearly 26 tons of gold, which it had in 2011. And that is one of the stories that caught our eye. Space 42, which is a subsidiary of G42. G42, again, is the biggest AI company in the UAE right now. They literally own or are planning to own or take over everything that is related to AI. So Space 42, which is a subsidiary, they got a $5.1 billion contract from the UAE government for satellite services. You can see the details on our social media or the newsletter, just plugging everything in again and again. So yeah, this is all happening in the business world. We'll come back to you tomorrow again with all that is happening in the world of UAE and Saudi Arabia and the Middle East. Thank you so much for watching. This is the Smashy Business Show, part of the Augustus Media Podcast Network, and it's a Smashy Business production. And we have 1.34 million listeners monthly. And if you're one of them, thank you so much for listening to us. And have a great day. And start planning your New Year's now. Because it's coming. It's coming very soon. Take care. Have a great day.